go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 108 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. This past weekend, I was able to do 4 pull-ups in a row. That is 4 pull-ups, full extension, all the way down, all the way up, chin over the bar. None of those CrossFit where, nope, I'm doing full extension pull-ups. My goal this year is to be able to do 10 in a row, 10 pull-ups, that is, full extension without stopping. I started this year being able to do 2. I've now done 4, so I'm making good progress. As far as not wearing my seatbelt when I drive, I'm still wearing my seatbelt. So I need to stop doing that because that was my New Year's resolution. But that is enough about me, the B-Man. This episode is all about you, the viewer and the listeners of Verbal Graffiti. And I am listening. I've been getting a lot of feedback. A lot of fans of Verbal Graffiti have been reaching out to me, the B-Man, to let me know they are having problems with premature ejaculation. And they want to know what they can do to keep their cum inside of their wiener for at least a minimum of a few minutes while they're having intercourse with their fleshlights and or a women and or hand and or a sandwich. Okay, you get it. The fans of Verbal Graffiti, the Johns, their premature ejaculation. And I've taken this to heart because I actually... We all know this, the B-Man. I'm actually last maybe too long with the babes because of all the edging I do. But this is a big problem. People have been reaching out to me. What can I do, B-Man? Is there any solution? And before we come up with a solution for the pre-cum, we need to find the source of the problem. Why are all the Johns watching Verbal Graffiti? Why are they premature ejaculating? And I've been giving it a lot of thought, sleepless nights. And I think the reason, I'm confident with this synopsis I'm about to talk about here. I do believe the reason why a lot of Johns are having problems holding the goo inside of themselves before it oozes out or shoots out if you have, you know, a good pump to you, is because of Reddit, right? That website we reference nearly every episode here at Verbal Graffiti. That's where I get all the things I talk about here on Verbal Graffiti are from Reddit. I'm just stealing info and putting my own twist on it if you haven't figured out the first 107 episodes. But if you spend a lot of time on Reddit, you will know there is also a lot of smut on that app, that website. There's a lot of smut. There is probably half of Reddit, if not more, is smut GIFs. I think they're called GIFs. Now, here's the thing with the B-Man, how my mind works. I don't view that, though. The GIFs on Reddit that have the pornography, the smut, they're usually anywhere between 5 to maybe 45 seconds. And a lot of Johns, the viewers of Verbal Graffiti, will use those GIFs on Reddit that are no longer than 45 seconds to get their goo outside of their wiener, inside, out into the world. Now, I think that may be the cause for so many men's problems with premature ejaculation. Because if you're wanking it to a Reddit or a GIF on Reddit of some smut, and it's only 45 seconds long, and maybe you watch it 1, 2, maybe 3 times max before you, and it all comes out and dribbles down your leg, you're probably not lasting longer than 3 minutes tops before you goo yourself, or you goo on the tissue or the rug or the carpet or whatever it is you goo on, your teddy bear, whatever it may be. So you're training yourself to come quickly. And it's not your fault. It's the pornography GIFs that are only 45 seconds max that are causing you this health issue that many fans of Verbal Graffiti are having. Now, I'm actually, personally, to be man, I don't view, like, I, actually, that's a complete lie. That is a complete lie. I view the pornography GIFs on Reddit a few nights a week, but I don't consider those to be actual pornography. Because when I'm edging, I'm going for minimum hour, upwards of 3 hours, and that's what I can consider smut. Pornography is when I'm watching an entire half-hour scene from a close-on till a pillow talk at the very end, and, you know, the screen goes black, and I'm watching maybe 6 or 7, upwards of 20 of those 10 to 30-minute videos, full videos from sexyporn.com, usually sometimes Elephant. There's one site with, that's what I consider smut, pornography, if you will. It's the entire length videos. Those are 30-second GIFs that you can find on Reddit and Red GIFs, that website. I even though I watch those a few nights a week, I don't consider those to be pornography. Because those are an appetizer. That's a snack. It's not a full experience. It's I'm tired. I need to go to bed soon, or I need to go to work soon. I just need to get the devil's juice out of me. And it's empty calories. That's what those GIFs you'll find on Reddit are. It's fun in the moment, but you're not getting anything from it. Now, when you watch an entire scene or an entire movie, if you're watching vintage smut from the 70s or 80s, that's a full meal. That's an entree. That's an event you could talk to with your boys or talk to your experience that you had. You could talk about that experience you had with your boys when you were out drinking Busch Lights with them and sneaking nips into your drinks because the drinks cost too much at the bar, so you gotta stiffen that drink up with the booze that you sneak into the dive bar that you're at. But it's fine because so many of my comic friends tell me they use Reddit for their porn, and I'm like, oh, but I don't consider that to be pornography. Like I said, those are empty calories. That's like watching a movie trailer and saying you saw the movie. Like, no, you didn't. You just saw the best parts. So I guess my I have a higher threshold for what pornography and smut is than the common John among us. But I do think if you're having problems with premature ejaculation, the reason why you're having those problems might be because you're relying on those 30-second GIFs that you find on Reddit and other nefarious places on the internet. So maybe to prevent yourself, or to make yourself last longer with your fleshlight or whatever toy you use to come inside of, quit with the appetizer and start watching big boy smut, a real smut from beginning to end, entire scenes, not just the trailer, best hit, 30 seconds. I'm interested. Does that make sense to all of you who have been reaching out to me in the comments? Do you think that may be a reason that we were condensing our smut viewership to these just little 20-second, five pumps, put a baby in me, a couple jiggles, and then, you chew, and that's it. It is amazing. It is. If I have one skill, the B-man, if I have one skill, is that I can talk. I could talk about pornography 100 episodes in a row, but it's never repetitive. Like, it is repetitive, but it's not repetitive because I always find a different angle to come at the topic. That is smut. I'm just fluffing it. It's like a pillow. I'm just fluffing it. Oh, look at me with all the analogies today. Like an early Bill Burr comic when he was still angry and not married. So I miss that, Bill Burr. Anyways, let me know what you think down in the comments, and let's move the episode along. This comes from a subreddit for bowling, all right? I've been bowling a few times. Trying to not get discouraged. Just got back into bowling after 20 years after taking my wife and daughter bowling for the first time about a month ago and got insanely hooked again. So did my wife and daughter. That meant only one thing. We all got bowling gear for Christmas. My wife and I both got Brunswick Rhino balls, and my daughter got a Twist. The first few games we played, my wife and I were in love with the balls. Let me say that again. We're in love with the balls. So immature. sorry. We love with the balls. Okay. Keep it going. We were both breaking 120s, with my highest game being 145. Good for you, sir. But now the last couple of games, I've been struggling to get in the 90s while my wife is still breaking into the 100s. Uh-oh. I'm trying to work on my form and release, so I'm trying different things to get the ball to do what I want. I want to get it to hook, but it hooks just a little too soon. I move over a couple of boards and it hooks too late. I have two boards the other way and then it doesn't hook at all. I'm so lost. I'm trying too many things at once. Thanks for the help. From my own personal experience with being a man, barely one, you have nothing to worry about, sir, daddy. You have nothing to worry about because this is a phase you're going through, and this is a rite of passage into manhood. All men do this. We find a sport or an activity, we get giddy about it, we go out and we spend a month's worth of income on all the gear. For you, it was the bowling balls. For you, the old lady and your daughter. Just be thankful you did not pick up a sport like golf, because golf is an expensive hobby. If that was a sport you and your wife got into, you might have to spend upwards of a divorce settlement on all the golf gear and the clubs and all that and the memberships. So be thankful you're into bowling right now. I'm going to tell you, I'm looking into my crystal ball right here, the perverted crystal ball, and this is what I see. You and your wife and your daughter, it's going to be spring. They pulled the animal out of the groundhog. The groundhog, spring is 6 or 7 weeks away. Lent is coming up. So once the weather starts to turn, you and the wife and the daughter will want to spend time outside together, which means you'll give up on bowling, which means those balls that you bought you and your family for Christmas, they'll just collect dust in your garage. And that is where most bowling balls end up, is in the garage. I'll tell you right now, my dad, he had a bowling ball in our basement. Not once did I ever see my dad go bowling with any of us, his children, his wife, or any of his friends. That bowling ball my dad had, he had the suitcase, bag, handbag that it came in. Never saw that open. I think I might have been 12, 13 years old when I opened it up for the first time, just out of curiosity, because I wanted to see what was in it. It's like, oh, it's a bowling ball. Then I asked my dad and my mom, what's with the bowling ball? Have you ever been bowling? And I don't remember the exact response, but it was something along the lines of, oh, yeah, we went bowling once, got excited. and never went bowling again. And this is going to be the same situation with your family again. This is a rite of passage into manhood. You get excited, you spend a little too much money, you're really into it for a few months, you realize you're not going to be able to make a living becoming a professional bowler, so you give up the sport and you find something else. Now, what's happened? So you really have nothing to worry about, but the B-Man is here to tell you, if you do not give up bowling, pretty soon you may have everything to worry about, because what you actually have right now, you have a case of the yips. I think that's a term that's usually used in golf. You know, just someone who swings, they lose their swing and they slice everything. I know there was a Yankee player, second baseman. What the fuck was his name? From the 90s. He forgot how to throw a baseball at first base. He just couldn't do it. Chuck Knobloch, that was the player. He had his case of the yips. That's what you got. Anything you try, any placement, your fingers in the bowling ball, any twist, any spot on the lane, you just got the yips. It's in your head. The only way you're going to get out of this is to hire a personal bowling coach and take lessons behind your wife's back, because you don't. Here's the thing about your situation as a bowler or your current state of bowling. You're not able to break 90. That's pitiful. There are seventh graders with Down syndrome that can break 90 while bowling. So like, that is the level you're at. If you're not able to break 90 while your wife and daughter are easily breaking 100, that's a problem, right? That is very emasculating. Now it's funny. Like right now, your predicament, it's funny. Oh, I'm bowling like a seventh grader with Down syndrome. My wife is making fun of me. My daughter's laughing at me. They're teasing me. They're telling me, oh, before I bowl, oh, should we get the bumpers and put it in the gutter? The gutter. What the fuck did they call that? Is it the bumpers that you put in the in the gutters? That's how little I know about bowling. So, but yeah, you put the, your daughter's making fun of you, right? He's like, oh, let's put the bumpers so that you don't get a gutter ball. And it's all laughing. But it is emasculating. And there is no woman alive who is attractive to a guy who cannot break 100 while bowling. That will dry out her pussy like a dry night in the Nevada desert. You don't want to be in this situation. So what you need to do, if you're serious about bowling, is you gotta get yourself a personal coach, go on an off night, lie to your wife about where you are, and get your game going, and get that hook on the ball, like. Get that hook back, because if you don't get the hook back so that you can get those strikes, those fun and games and that laughter that your wife's giving you, teasing you, it might turn into her fucking the alley attendant behind the vending machine during a cosmic bowling night. And you don't want that. You do not want that. You do not want your wife to stray. Even more so, you got to be more concerned about your daughter. Now, I like your family. It seems like you have a very loving family. You found an activity that you, your wife, and your daughter enjoy doing together, which is going bowling a couple nights a week. We need more of that. We need more family activities. I'm very happy for you that you have this. But if you continue to have the yips and are not able to break triple digits, and your daughter continues to get higher scores than you, she's going to become embarrassed of you. Right now, it seems from your posts that your daughter loves you and, more importantly, looks up to you, admires you as her father. But if you keep getting the gutter balls and keep, not even being able to break an 85, what's going to happen is she's going to start to disassociate herself, that your daughter, that is, from you. When she goes to prom, she's not going to want to take pictures of herself in her prom dress next to you, because you're an embarrassment to her and her family. When she goes to a freshman orientation, she's going to tell all the students that she meets there that she's adopted and you're not her biological father, because no daughter wants to share the genetics with a man who cannot break a 90 during a game of bowling. And she's, when she finally gets a boyfriend junior year of college, she's not going to want to introduce the boyfriend to you, her dad, who cannot break 100 during a game of bowling, which is going to cause a lot of strife. And inevitably, your daughter's going to end up doing OnlyFans and trying to break Lily Phillips 100, having sex with 100 Johns in one day. And then she's going to get addicted to drugs and cocaine and ketamine. And you're going to have to dip in your retirement fund to pay for her rehab. And you're going to end up just alone without your wife. Your wife's going to leave you. Your daughter's going to want nothing to do with you. You're going to spend your weekends alone eating tuna straight from the can while you watch Kingpin and the Big Lebowski, but alone in a motel. That is where your life is headed real quick if you don't make changes real quick. So you have two solutions, right? One way you can go about this is find another sport that you can do with your family, whether that be mini golf, can jam, frisbee golf, Monopoly, Jeopardy. Find a sport or an activity where you can beat your wife and especially your daughter. That is one route. Just keep the bowling balls in the garage, in the basement, never to be seen again. Or next time you go bowling with the family, purposely drop your rhino bowling ball on your foot. That way you break your big toe, then you can't go bowling for 6 weeks. Yeah, within that 6 week period, your family will, you'll lose the rhythm about going to the bowling alley a couple times a week. You'll stop doing that. And then once your foot's healed, no one will want to go bowling again. And you'll look back fondly on those couple months where you went bowling together as a family. And that is the solution. Either way, you got to stop bowling because you got the yips. And your family, especially your daughter, is going to be embarrassed to be associated with you. And you don't want that because you seem like a good father, a good husband who doesn't prematurely ejaculate. So we're rooting for you here. So yeah, quit bowling because you got the yips and those are very, very difficult to get rid of. Just ask Chuck Knobloch. Let's go look at some photos. The B-Man, I am certified dangerous. Last night, I was doing stand-up at Dangles in New Haven, some of the best wings in all of New England. And I was doing some crowd work, having fun, vibing, getting lots of laughs, cheerful, busting chops, busting balls, chopping it up with everybody in the audience. But on separate sides of the establishments were two heavy-set black women that I almost got into a physical altercation with. Not me, but the two of them with each other. And immediately, I got nervous and I told, listen, you two cannot get into a verbal altercation right now, because if a verbal altercation between two middle-aged, heavyset black women gets underway because of something a white skinny guy with a shaved head says into a microphone, I am going to be the headline story on CNN, and I don't want that because I still have a day job and I rely on those benefits. It's almost the opposite, right? So you have the black guys, when they get pulled over by the police, that's a scene that they don't want to be involved in. Same thing with a white guy when there might be a black-on-black crime going and they're the instigator of it. It's just, ooh, I might get in some serious... So there may be some serious repercussions because of this situation. So I told everybody, turn off your cell phones, turn off the cameras, and let's calm down. And I was able to do so because I just have a way with my words. I've never been in a fist fight because anytime emotions have risen, have escalated, I've always been able to de-escalate things with my words. I don't know how I've been able to do that. I've always been able to do that since day one, since elementary school. All right, upwards and onwards, or maybe not upwards, but certainly onwards. There is a certain type of person that I do not vibe with, that I never want to chop it up with, and that is the person who, you know the person I'm talking about? You go to a comedy show, and instead of laughing or clapping, when you make a point on stage, they go, the audience member goes, whatever that is, whatever that makes that person snap their fingers, instead of doing a clap, it makes me want to kick you in the vagina. I went on a few dates with a babe. She was at a comedy show, and she did this, and my insides just curdled up, and my black heart just stopped, and I couldn't leave her right then and there. But in that moment, I knew it's like, oh, I can't be involved with someone when I want to kick her in the vagina. It took everything I had not to kick her in the vagina. And sometimes I do stand up at this yuppie place in Middletown, and some of the audience members will go, it's a younger person thing. I don't know, maybe it's a Gen Y, Gen Z thing, whatever fucking letter we're on now with the younger people. But that, the snapping of the fingers, it's like, clap your hands like a normie, right? Like an NPC, just clap your hand. We're not doing poetry. This isn't spoken word. This isn't slam poetry. We're not smoking a doobie and pontificating about architecture in the Middle Ages. We're telling dick jokes, right? Or punchlines, set up punchlines, stupid stories. Roommates that stole... that stole our baseball cards. We're not talking about anything profound. Nothing that deserves a. I generally don't like liberals, so maybe that seems to be like a liberal thing. It's funny. The reason why, all right, I'm just rambling now. The reason why I don't like liberals, it's not their viewpoints. It's just that they do a lot of this. You know, it's synonymous. Liberals and snapping your fingers. It's almost their motions with their hands are what I despise more than their viewpoints on the world. Okay, do you guys feel me? Do you feel me? Like with the premature ejaculation during the first segment of 108? Let me know down there in the comments. All right, let's keep it moving along without any snapping. This comes from the subreddit. What is this? A poverty finance. I just got a box of food from a food bank and I feel awful. There were people there and I felt like I was taking food from them. I'm talking women with children and families. I'm a single guy, so am I, and it made me feel like I was worthless accepting food that families could have benefited from. I am happy I got some eggs, though. Deviled eggs are so damn good. Edit. Thanks to everyone who posted thoughtful responses. My guilt is abated, and I don't feel so worthless anymore. Thank you for being kind to me, as I am stumble over all your words. The fact that you use the word abated makes me believe that there will be a day when you do not need to walk into the food bank to get food for yourself. How does the B-man feel about a single John going into a food bank? All right, when you repeat a question or a comment, that means that you're thinking. You're just stalling while you think of an answer. That's what I was doing right there. Two things can be right at the same time. You are not worthless for having to use a food bank. to get food for your malnourished self, but you're also a piece of shit for having to go to that food bank to get food for yourself. Both of those statements are true. So that internal feeling that you had about yourself being just a worthless piece of shit, just nothing valuable to society that you're giving, that's the correct feeling to have. But don't kick yourself too much where you won't go to the food bank again if and when you need to, because that's what the food bank is there for. And sometimes, the B-man, I gotta raise my hand, I gotta admit, I forget that there are food banks out there for the hungry and needy. And now that you reminded me of that fact, that we do have food banks here in America, I don't feel like a piece of shit anymore for when I walk past a bum who's laying on the ground with he's got his blanket with what looks like a wet pee mark on the pavement from a fresh pee from the homeless person, and he's got a cup, and I just kind of step over him with my nice sneakers. And sometimes I won't give that bum, I will not give him a couple dollars, even though he's begging me for money. And now this is confirmation that I should not feel like shit for not giving that bum in New Haven a couple of dollars, because he doesn't need my money, because there are food banks in this city area for him to go to get food. So when he's begging for money for food, you just let me know, nah, I don't need to give him money for food. There are food banks out there that he can go to get some soup and some bread and some deviled eggs like yourself. And honestly, the more I think about it, the more I get lathered up about you and your situation, it seems like you have found a cheat code to life. Seriously, how many basic NPC normies are there in life just throwing their hands up, complaining about, can you believe how much a dozen eggs cost? $8, eight freaking dollars for a dozen eggs. And here you are going to the food bank and getting eggs by the dozen for free. Who's got it better than you? You're using your brain. A tip of my penis to you, the bum, using the food bank and feeling like a piece of shit. Now, I mean, God, don't feel bad at all. That's what the food bank is there for. It's for everybody, not just the women and the children and the families. Single guys like you and I, we need a little assistance. We need a little handout from the government. Now, don't be giddy about it. Just my advice to you is go in there, head down, take whatever it is you need, the bread, the eggs, the protein, the soup, whatever, the snack, the kind bar. Get what you need, not what you want. There's a difference between what you need to get by and what you want for pleasure, like those empty calories. And just get what you need, head down, leave, don't make a much commotion, and go about your day and eat your meal and be thankful that the food bank was there for you when you needed it. Now, what you don't want to be, like one of those, you feel like a piece of shit, but you're not a piece of shit. Now, there are people that use the food bank that are a legit piece of shit, a 12-inch fully connected log that clogs the toilet. The type of person is this. It's the bum. It's like the Section 8 alcoholic who knows when the fresh bread and eggs are delivered, and they go in there and they get the Fruit Loops right as it's put on. Right when it's put on the counter, they reach out with their germ-infested hand, that bum, that alcoholic, and they reach, and before the single mother can get that the Fruit Loops for her child, that's who you don't want to be. You don't want to be the piece of shit that walks into the food bank with confidence. Walks in there like he's the mayor of Goodwill and Salvation Army. You don't want to be the guy. Because that guy is a cockroach. That guy is never going to benefit society. He's a leech. He's pulling from all of us. That is not the person you want to be. Now, I don't think you are that person. Because clearly, you have shame going into the food bank, which is the feeling you should have having to use a food bank. Now, that's not having that feeling of shame. That's the right feeling to have, and you should use that feeling as motivation. All right, you feel like a piece of shit. You feel you have a sense of shame taking food that maybe there's a single mom who could use this dozen eggs instead of me. Like, that sense of shame, you're going to use that as motivation to get on your feet and get fully employed and get to a spot in life where you can walk into a Stop and Shop instead of a food bank. So it's good that you have that shame. But those alcoholics, those bums, those people who have been shopping at the food bank for upwards of a decade now, they've lost that shame. And that is scary, and that's downright wrong. When you lose that sense of shame, when you walk inside a food bank, that is when you cease to be a productive member of society. That's where you don't want to be. So the fact that you have those feelings, I see that as a positive, that life comes around and you'll get to the point and you'll give it back, right? When you're up on your feet and you're fully employed and you have a little disposable income, you'll donate to the food bank because you know it helped you when you were during a time of need. Now, as far as the single mother goes, never feel bad for taking something from a single mother. Now, the children, yes, always feel bad for taking a lollipop, taking the Wonder Bread, taking the salt shaker from the child with the dirt on the face, the Charlie Brown type person, kid child. Feel bad for that. But the single mother, fuck her, right? Fuck her because she fucked. Right, she's at the food bank, single mother. We gotta help out the single mom. Well, she wasn't thinking about the food bank when she was taking hot ones, getting cream pies from some bum who probably wears a flat brim hat and drinks alcohol from nips, straight from the nips. So when she was having unprotected sex with that John, she wasn't thinking about the repercussions. Don't feel bad for her, right? Like, she was getting hers, and now she's, now life is getting back at her. So, like, it's the single mom, like, she's at fault for her situation. And maybe you're at fault for your situation, but you're equal with the single mom. Not so much the children, but single mom, the single bum guy, you are on an equal playing field. Don't let society tell you otherwise. They're wrong. The B-man, all of us here, Verbal Graffiti, and you, the bum using the food bank, are correct in our thoughts. Yeah, man, but the food bank, good for you. I mean, you need it. You feel like a piece of shit, but hey, you got to eat. All right, how are you gonna get back up? How are you going to get employed if you're malnourished? So enjoy those devil eggs. And also to all you Johns out there, if you're looking for a babe, now that I think about it, maybe you should hit up the food bank on a Thursday afternoon. Maybe you'll find, if you have a vehicle and you hit up the food bank, dude, single mothers there by the dozen. You could easily get your nut in the back seat of your Cadillac. So yeah, maybe I'll go there with my Camry. That's not my Camry, but my father's Camry. And maybe I'll try to find some single mothers there at the food bank. But yeah, good for you. You're using society. I believe you. Obviously, you're a fan of Verbal Graffiti. And, you use words like a bait. So you'll probably end up making more money than all of us now who are involved in Verbal Graffiti. With all that out of the way, let's continue reading The Salesman's Wife by the famous author John Lawrence. I think we were on page 84. Hold on. Oh, my apologies. We are at the top of page 85. We will read two pages together aloud. Suck it! Suck it! He cried. At the same time, Pamela's cuntle sheath began to vibrate in sympathetic excitement. Sweet, wet warmth began to pour like honey from her throbbing inner cuntle walls as she sucked wetly on the lust-crazed penis. Ugh! She groaned happily as her climax mounted with shattering force. Ugh! Unseen by the others, Mavis watched in the other room as her husband's body began to jerk and twitch with mounting orgasm. She loved to watch him come, either with her or other women, and her pussy exploded with delight. She was coming too. Oh! She moaned, shoving the trembling vibrator deeply into her sex-hungry cunt until it crashed harshly against her tender cervix, sending excruciating spasms of pain and pleasure through her. Oh! Carlsberg was near the point of explosion now, and he straightened up, throwing his head back in a heat-tensed excitement, and shrieked his pleasure as his white, thick cum suddenly burst forth from her wild, convulsing penis and rushed forward into Pamela's frantically clutching mouth. I'm coming, he screamed manically. As Vicious White cum poured into her mouth from his jerking penis, Pamela nearly gagged, but within seconds, she instinctively began to drink his manly essence with relish, sucking hard on his cock while Carlsberg shrieked with pleasure. Ah, ah, he cried out, racked with unbelievable thrills. Suck it! Suck it! In the other room, Mavis pumped furiously with her vibrator, nearly insane with passion as it ripped through her own body with terrifying force, coming with volcanic release, drenching the mechanical phallus with her steaming female secretions. While in the fantasy room, Pamela mulled with obscene pleasure as she sucked that doctor's penis dry. Gradually, Carlsberg felt the last of the sticky male essence drain from his softening rod, and he slowly withdrew his moist shaft from her tightly oval mouth. As he did, Pamela slumped down on the floor, completely exhausted, yet oddly satisfied and happy. She looked up at him like a little girl, licking the last of his semen from her lips like it was golden nectar. Stella stood in the doorway, wearing a sheer, short nightie with pink lace, watching Alan climb out of his car. The light from her room inside silhouetted her voluptuous body through the filmy material, and Alan's eyes widened with lust as he saw her. His cock hardened at once, aching to plunge into the wet, sweet depths of her eager cunt. Go suck a fat one.